Are you ready to move? Are you? You ready to move? I mean, welcome back to our campsite. Might look a little different. Janice was mentioning, for those of you that haven't been here, we have had tents set up, hammocks hanging between trees, camp stoves, a campfire going. But it's time to break camp. It's time to pack up and be ready for the next adventure. But before we do, let's look back on some of the wisdom that we have learned along this journey camping with Moses and the Israelites. If you haven't had a chance, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the other three parts of this series. It's on our YouTube page. It's on our church website. Or you can pick up one of these cards in the foyer. It's on the table by the stone wall. This is a Right Now Media subscription. It's a streaming platform, Christian content, and all of our sermons are going to be uploaded to that. And it's free. Our gift to you. So you can pick one of these up, scan the QR code, and get plugged in on there. But let's recap where we've come on this journey before we leave camp today. Number one was our first week learning about making intentional space to be with God by setting up our tent away from the noise and distractions of life in order for us to be present with God. The second week, we looked at how God led the Israelites by a pillar of fire and how that same God that led the Israelites by fire still leads us today. And even when that fire in our life seems faint, we are still to follow it because God is still leading us faithfully. And last week, if you were here, you remember we set out on a hike, we ate some trail mix, and we learned to look back on our lives. Look back at the trail and remember where God brought you from, to make you into who you are today, and how all along the way God was faithfully providing. And as I said, today it is time to break camp, to be ready for the next adventure that God has. Now, there's something profoundly spiritual about camping, I think. I mean, if you've ever spent time in nature, you know how quickly that noise of daily life seems to fade away. Your senses seem to shift. The silence of the woods becomes its own voice. The flames of that campfire speak a language all their own, and you slow down. You breathe deeper. You find a new rhythm. You get used to that space around you. You know, the angle of your tent, the way the sun rises on it. You learn the path to the washrooms and back, the path to the beach and back. You learn to live with less, and in the process, you often discover more. But the very nature of camping is that it's temporary. We can all agree camping is temporary because you don't build a foundation when you're setting your tent up. You just pick the spot, pitch your tent. But eventually, it's time to break camp. And that's not always easy because we grow attached to where we are, to where we've been, even though we know it's not forever. The Israelites, as we're going to read, they were camped at Mount Sinai for a year. Think about that. Camping in one spot for an entire year. How many of you have camped for an entire year every single day? How about 3 months? Anthony, I can agree. My family camped in a provincial park for 3 months in between houses, and that was where we spent our summer. But you don't build a foundation. It's not meant to last forever. It's not temporary. The Israelites are there for a full year in one spot. And at first, it was likely a place of awe because God's voice is thundering from the mountain. The covenant was given. The tabernacle was constructed, as Janice mentioned earlier, and the community of God's people began to take shape. However, we're going to see in our text today that there was a shift. Something happened. If you've got your Bibles with you, let's go to Numbers 10. It will be on the screen so you can follow along there, but I always encourage you to get your Bible, take notes as we go along. Numbers 10, we're going to be in verses 11 to 13 today. It says, on the 20th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle of the covenant law, and then the Israelites set out from the desert of Sinai and traveled from place to place until the cloud came to rest in the desert of Paran. They set out this first time at the Lord's command through Moses. See, the shift that happened in their story was this signal was given. It's time to move on. That was the signal. This wasn't just some logistical detail, however, in their story. It's not some part of their travel log. It was a spiritual turning point. It was a break from the familiar and an invitation into a new chapter in their story with God. And I think the two questions that this passage actually invites us to ask ourselves this morning are these. What do we do when the cloud lifts? And are we ready to break camp and follow God into the next adventure? So that's what we're going to unpack as we look closer at this passage together. So if you've got something to take notes, I invite you to jot down these different points as we go so that way they're clear in your mind. The first is the signal to move. We see that in verse 11, right in the middle. It says, the cloud lifted. Three words, three small words. But these three small words carry such massive significance in this story. See, for nearly a year, as we mentioned, the Israelites had been camped out at Sinai. The cloud, God's visible presence, had remained steady over the tabernacle. Day after day, it hovered as a divine symbol of protection and guidance. And as long as the cloud remained, so did they. This became their rhythm. Wait when the cloud rests, move when the cloud lifts. But one morning, something changed. Try to picture this with me, okay? Let's picture this together. The familiar stillness of a desert morning. The sun is just starting to peek over the horizon. People are starting about their daily routines. They're gathering manna, they're mending their tents, lighting their morning fires, and then someone sees it. The cloud. It's moving. It's rising, lifting off its resting place. And suddenly, the camp is no longer still. It stirs. Word spreads quickly. Tribe leaders rally their families. Priests prepare the tabernacle. Trumpets sound, as you read earlier in Numbers 10, announcing the divine signal, it's time. So the people, they drop what they're doing. The rhythm has shifted. The familiar has changed. The God who once settled here with them is saying, it's time to follow me again. Understand, this wasn't just some change in location. It was a shift in their posture because it was an invitation to walk in step with a living God. Also understand, the cloud wasn't just some nice symbol. It wasn't just there. It was God's personal guidance system. Think of it as a GPS. A GPS in the sense of GPS means God's positioning system. Exodus 13:21, if you remember from a few weeks ago, we were told that by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. Or in Exodus 40, verse 36, says, in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above their tabernacle, they would set out. The cloud was God's way of saying, stay close, watch me. Move when I move. Now for us today, how many of you could say you have a literal cloud guiding you through life? You can see the physical cloud, the physical fire. Most of us don't have that literal cloud to follow. However, we've discussed multiple times in this series, God still leads. That same God that led the Israelites with the cloud and with fire is still leading us today. That same Spirit who hovered in the desert dwells with God's people today. The question, though, is, are we listening? And if we're listening, then why aren't we moving when the cloud lifts? Why aren't we going after God? I think I figured it out. It's because we have grown too used to the view from our campsite. We've arranged our lives just so. We've built habits around where we are. We've carved out emotional space in our tent. We know the sunrise, the view, the path to the water, the path to the washrooms. It's familiar, it's predictable, but it's comfortable. And a lot of times, we mistake familiarity for faithfulness. Because here's the truth in this. You can be camped in a good place and still be out of step with God. You can be camped in a good place, but still be out of step with God.
See, the cloud doesn't stay still forever. And when it moves, to remain behind is not safe. Actually, worse than that, it's not that it's not safe, it's actually disobedient to remain. Because wherever God's presence goes, that is where we are to go as well. I mean, countless times throughout Scripture, we see evidence of God rarely leaving his people stagnant. Think of Abraham. He was called to leave his homeland having no idea where he was going. Ruth, she left Moab behind and moved into the unknown out of covenant faithfulness. Peter stepped out of the boat at Jesus' call, stepping onto the water while everyone else stayed seated. Paul was constantly redirected by the Spirit through closed doors, new assignments, unexpected detours. But in every case, God signaled a move and the faithful responded, and God still led. So let's ask ourselves today, is there a cloud lifting in your life? Are you feeling a holy unrest, maybe a sense that God is stirring something new in your life? Have you sensed maybe a gentle nudge, a still small voice? Or maybe it wasn't a still small voice, but rather a firm push, but you're still resisting. Maybe you've been praying for direction on something, but what you're really asking for is God to confirm that you can just stay put where you are. But what if the answer to all of these is God saying, it's time to go? What if the greatest act of obedience in your life right now is actually just paying attention to God? See, when the cloud lifted, it was not just a moment. It was a movement. It was God saying, hey, you've been here long enough. I've done what I needed to do in this place, and now I want to take you somewhere new. Do you trust me? See, before we can step into the next chapter, we have to learn to discern the signal, to be alert and to watch for that lifting cloud. Because God is always on the move, not aimlessly, but purposefully. And he wants to lead you not just out of where you are, but into where he is. And so we watch for the signal to move. Number two is that after seeing the signal, there has to be some obedient movement. Look at verse 13. They set out the first time at the Lord's command through Moses. The cloud lifted, people responded. They didn't delay, they didn't argue, they didn't say, hey God, wait, what's our 5-year plan? What's the big picture? Where are we actually going? What's there? Is it better than here? They just moved. They went on impulse. They didn't hold a local church conference and have to get a majority vote to move. They just did it at the Lord's command through the leadership of Moses, who God had appointed. See, this is the difference between restlessness and response, between wandering and following, between spiritual ambition and spiritual-led obedience. Obedience isn't just about hearing God's command. It's about acting on it. See, it's one thing to discern that the cloud is actually lifting, but it's a whole other thing to get up, to pack up, and step out. And that takes courage. That takes faith and obedience. Notice how, though, the text says, they set out this first time at the Lord's command through Moses. They didn't set out on their own timeline. They didn't set out, as I said, after a majority vote. Not after asking, hey, what's actually there in the desert of Paran? Is there going to be food? Is there going to be water? Are you going to be there? Instead, the movement was grounded in trust. The movement was grounded in, if God is going, then we're going too. And this moment wasn't just about motion, it was about alignment. Because obedient movement is about syncing our steps with the heart of God. Now, when they did move, this move wasn't some chaotic scramble. The tribes had specific orders as laid out in Numbers 2. The tabernacle had to be carefully dismantled and transported. The Ark of the Covenant had to be carried with reverence. Trumpets had to signal the sequence. There was a divine rhythm to it all. Now, how many of you have ever packed up a campsite? You know that packing up a campsite takes intentionality. It takes time, probably more time than setting it up. I know for us, that's probably my least favorite part of camping is the actual packing up, because you know that the gear is going away for a while, so it's all going to be put away properly, it's got to be cleaned down properly, and it takes forever. And most of the times, we pack it up at the site, and we take it home just to unpack it and clean it again and repack it before it goes away. So you can't just throw everything into your car. You follow a sequence. You know, you fold the tent, you douse the fire, you clean up the space, make sure nothing is left behind, because if you are a good camper, you know that you leave your site in as good or better condition than what you found it when you arrived. You pack with purpose, because you're not just leaving. You're going somewhere. It's the same way when God says go. We don't rush into that. We don't leap haphazardly. We prepare our hearts. We pack what he says to bring in. We leave behind what he says to let go. And we move under his instruction, not just our own emotion. Because obedience isn't passive. It's practiced. It's prepared. It's purposeful. Now let's be honest. Obedience sounds pretty noble, right? But it's so hard. Especially when the place that we're leaving feels so safe. Especially when the path ahead is unclear. Especially when obedience means losing before gaining. Oftentimes we delay obedience because we're afraid of the unknown. Because we want more control over the outcome. Because we confuse our comfort with God's calling. And we don't fully trust that God knows what he's actually doing. But here's the thing. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. And better yet, partial obedience is still rebellion. John 14, 15 reminds us, if you love me, you will keep my commands. So why are we not moving when he commands us to move? Scripture is full of men and women who took immediate, costly, obedient steps when God said to move. Think of Noah. He built the ark before it rained ever fell. Abraham, again, he left his home not knowing where he was going. Or Joseph and Mary. Joseph obeyed the angelic instructions in the dreams to move his family to Egypt and then back to Nazareth. Or think of the disciples. They dropped their nets. They left their families behind to follow Jesus, not knowing where that journey was going to take them. Or Ananias. Ananias obeyed God's command to go and pray for Saul, even though he was his former enemy. See, obedience often looks risky from the outside. However, obedience is always safe in the hands of God. So what might obedient movement look like for us today? Is God calling you to forgive someone, but that first step feels like dying to your own pride? Maybe he's nudging you to step away from a role or title that no longer reflects his call on your life. Is he prompting you to step into a ministry, a mission, a conversation that you have been avoiding? Or maybe he's just inviting you to trust him with a move or a change. And the truth is, obedient movement is going to look different for everyone. However, there's something that's going to remain the same, and that's the posture. The posture of obedient movement is a faith that trusts God more than our fears. See, when the Israelites broke camp, they had no idea what they were going to find in the desert of Paran. But they did know something. They knew who was going with them. See, obedience doesn't always come with all the details, but it always comes with presence. See, God is never sending you where he isn't already waiting. Psalm 16:11 reminds us that you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. The ultimate goal of obedience isn't just to go, it's to go with God. So let's ask ourselves today, when the Lord gives the word, will I rise? Will I follow? Will I actually obey completely and immediately? Or am I going to stay put at the camp that I've built? Because we see the signal to move, We have the obedient movement. But with the obedient movement comes something that we may not always like. And that's the bittersweet nature of change. How many of you have ever dealt with change in your life? If you've come to Sunnyside, how many of you have dealt with change? We've all dealt with change in some way. Israelites, verse 12 says that they set out from the desert of Sinai. It's easy to skim over these few verses and miss the emotional weight of what's actually going on here. So the Israelites, like we said, they've been camping at Mount Sinai for a year, and now they're going, but they're not just moving, they're leaving. And they're not leaving just any place, they are leaving Mount Sinai. This place that had become a sacred space, a holy ground. It's where they received the Ten Commandments, where God's glory came down in fire and cloud, and where Moses met with God face to face. See, for nearly a year, Sinai had become their home. And even though the wilderness still surrounded them, they had settled into a new holy rhythm. They knew where the tabernacle stood. They knew the sound of the trumpets. They had daily provision. They had system and a structure. But leaving Sinai became something more than just logistical. It was emotional, spiritual, disorienting. But here's the thing, they couldn't stay. Sinai was a sacred stop, but not a resting place. It was a meeting place, but not a permanent settlement. See, the mountain was meaningful, but the mission was in the movement. God had not brought the Israelites out of Egypt just to put them at Sinai forever. As we know, he was leading them to the promised land. And the same is true for us. God is giving us seasons of sweetness, places where we will encounter him deeply, where we will grow and heal and learn, but those aren't meant to become idols of comfort. They're there to prepare us for what's next. And the reality is, change always involves some level of grief. Even good change, even God-led change, comes with a kind of grief. Maybe leaving a job where you found your identity. Maybe letting go of a relationship that shaped you. Saying goodbye to a season of ministry or parenting or stability. Even moving away from a place that held deep meaning. See, we often assume that if God is leading us, then it should feel super fun and exciting all the time. But most times, the most faithful step forward is taken with tears in your eyes. See, change is bittersweet because it acknowledges that God got me here, but he's also calling me forward. And you can honor what God did in that last season without clinging to it in a way that keeps you from what he's calling you into next. How many of you, when you go camping, especially with kids, the kids will come to you and be like, can't we just stay one more day? Can't we just go to the beach one more time before we go? Can't we go and do this before we have to pack up the car? But you know the truth. The journey has to continue. You weren't meant to live on that campsite. You were meant to pass through. The same is true for us spiritually. But there's comfort found in this. And that was that God wasn't staying at Sinai. That cloud, the symbol of his presence, lifted. That was the signal. God is moving forward, and his people must follow. See, if they had stayed at Sinai, they would have missed where God was going next. There's something powerful in realizing this, that God is already present in the place that you're afraid to go. God is already there. We don't need to fear going. We're not going alone. He's already ahead of you preparing that next encounter. Again, we see this mirrored in Scripture. Again, I'll mention it because this guy seems to have it going for him. Abraham left everything, not knowing where he was going, but he had to do that to receive the blessing that God had for him. Elijah had to leave the comfort and safety of the cave to hear God's whisper and resume his mission. Peter, James, and John, they wanted to build tents on the Mount of Transfiguration, but God said, no, we got to come back down the mountain, back into the valley of ministry. The disciples In Acts, they had to leave the upper room, step into a broken world empowered by the Spirit in order for the church to start. Over and over, Scripture teaches us this, that we can't cling to the mountain when God is calling us into mission. We can't cling to the mountain when God's calling us into mission. So where in your life might you be clinging to Sinai today? Are you staying in a role or a relationship because it's just so familiar, even though God's presence is still moving forward? Or maybe you're trying to recreate an old season of blessing instead of opening your heart to a new one. Or are you hesitant to say yes to a new opportunity because you're still holding on to what once was? And here's the thing, you don't have to dishonor the past in order to walk into the future. You can thank God for Sinai and then trust him for the desert of Paran. See, when the Israelites left Sinai, it wasn't them forgetting what God had done. It meant carrying what he had done with them and believing that God was not finished with them. Change is never easy. But when the cloud lifts and God calls you forward, you can leave what was with gratitude and step into what's next with faith. Because the same God that met you at Sinai is the God who goes with you into that next place. We see the signal to move. We follow that with obedient movement. There's that bittersweet nature of change, but there's one more thing that we can take from this passage, and that is traveling together, because faith is a communal journey. Again, look at verse 12. Then the Israelites set out from the desert of Sinai. Don't miss this essential part of the story. When the cloud lifted, the people didn't move alone. The journey wasn't solo. It didn't say one of the Israelites got up and left while the rest stayed behind. It said the Israelites, all of them, got up, moved together. It was communal. The tribes of Israel, they had a specific order that they moved in. Each clan had responsibilities. The Levites carried the tabernacle. Trumpets were sounded. Leaders rallied their families. No one broke camp alone, and no one wandered into the wilderness by themselves. This movement was personal, yes, but it was also deeply relational, because the call of God is rarely just me and Jesus. It's actually us and Jesus together on the journey. And sometimes we forget this. We think when God's calling us to break camp that it means that we've got to face our next wilderness alone. We hear that Spirit's nudge and we brace ourselves to do it all without support. But that's not how God designed the journey. We need those people that say, hey, I see the cloud too. Let's go. We need the companions who will help us pack up what we need. But better yet, we need the companions who are going to help us leave behind what we're supposed to leave behind. We need friends who are going to speak courage when we feel afraid and remind us that you're not crazy for stepping into God's next adventure. When you're camping with a group, how many of you have been camping with a group and know that breaking camp is not done by one person? At least you hope it's not done by one person. If you're camping with a group that makes it all one person, find a different group to camp with. Because when you're breaking camp with a group, someone rolls the tent, someone puts the fire out, someone checks the trail, and as you walk, you share the load. You swap stories, you laugh, you stumble, you keep moving forward together. That's the beauty of faith in community. Someone else's courage might inspire your obedience. Your first step, however, may strengthen their resolve. And when you walk the journey with others, you realize this isn't just my move forward. This is our move forward toward God. So maybe you've been holding back from taking the step because you feel alone right now. Maybe you've thought, I can't move ahead because no one's going to understand the call that God's placed on my life. Or maybe you've even said, if I follow the cloud, I'm going to lose people around me. Let me say this to you gently this morning. God never calls you forward to isolate you. He calls you into deeper communion with himself and with the people alongside you. So I want you all to take a chance, look around the room. Actually turn around and look at the people behind you. Who are your fellow travelers? Who in this community are your fellow travelers? Who is in your circle that's watching for the cloud with you? And who is it that might be waiting for you to say, hey, let's break camp together? Because the reality is, you weren't meant to travel alone. So we've talked about the signal to move. We've talked that obedience is needed. We understand that there's this bittersweet ache of change and the importance of moving together. But now it's time to bring it all home, pack it all up, because we're on the move. Because at some point, the conversation has to turn from them to you individually. And it's time for each of us to ask ourselves the question, are you ready to break camp? But in order to answer that question, you need to ask yourself another question. I know lots of questions. Questions are good because you get answers. Where are you camped? Because before you can break camp, you need to understand where you're camped. Maybe you're camped in a comfortable routine, a rhythm that once brought you stability but now just keeps you spiritually stagnant. Maybe you're camped around a past spiritual victory, a moment where God moved so powerfully but you've stayed parked there, living in that memory instead of following his direction. Maybe you're camped in a role that no longer fits you. Maybe it's a position or relationship, a version of yourself that once made sense but now feels tight, outdated, too small. Or maybe you're camped in fear. Something has kept you stuck, and you're afraid to risk, afraid to leave, afraid to believe that God actually still has more for you. Whatever it is, let me say this to you lovingly, but directly. Have you grown so comfortable with your campsite that you've stopped looking for the cloud? Are you so used to your daily routines that you are not willing to look for the cloud because you don't want to move? You want to stay put. Because here's the truth, God never stops leading. He never stops moving. The journey of faith is not a one-time step. It's a lifelong pilgrimage. And it's okay to be grateful for where you've been. It's okay to name the beauty of what God did in that last season, but don't confuse the memory of God's past movement for the reality of his present call on your life. Friends, the cloud is lifting. That gentle restlessness that you've been feeling, that quiet stirring in your spirit, that door that's cracking open, that sense that there may be more to this, that may be the cloud rising in your life. That next trail lies ahead. The fire at this site may be burning out, but the light of his presence is rising, beckoning you forward to follow, and the God who met you here has gone before you there. It's time to break camp, not in fear but in faith, not in panic but in peace, and not in loss but with expectation, because the reality is God's not done with you. One thing growing up in high school, our pastor always said, I mentioned that at the beginning of the service in our prayer, our pastor would most likely, 9 times out of 10 on Sunday morning, in her prayer would say, God, I thank you for waking us up and giving us breath in our lungs, reminding us that you're not finished with us. How many of us wake up each morning taking that for granted and not realizing that by us still being here, still breathing, that God is not done. There is more to this. Your story is still unfolding. And the next adventure, that next encounter, the next stretching of your faith, the next evidence of his goodness awaits on the trail ahead, not where you're still at. So what do you say? Will you break camp? As we close today and I invite the worship team to come back up, I want to offer you a moment to respond. We've come through a four-part series. This is the end. I will change clothes next week. Don't worry. But I want you to have a time to respond to these past 4 weeks and today, not just in your head, but in your heart. Maybe you already know what breaking camp looks like. Maybe it's saying yes to a call that you've resisted. Maybe it's loosening your grip on a season God is asking you to leave. Or maybe it's simply just lifting your eyes again to watch for the cloud. Whatever this is your invitation. Don't stay stuck at a campsite that God is no longer occupying. If you feel the Spirit nudge you today, don't rush past it. Sit in that moment with Him. As we sing this next song, maybe you want to stand as a sign and a symbol of saying, God, I am ready to move. When that cloud lifts, I'm going. I will follow you into whatever it is. Maybe you want to come forward and pray today. Maybe there's something that's holding you back and you need to release that to God. Maybe you want to sit or kneel where you are with open hands. Whatever your response is today to say to God, I am ready to take that next step now. I want you to take that posture. Because when God says move, it's not just about where He's leading you. It's about how deeply He loves you. See, God calls you forward not to abandon you, but to be with you in new ways. He leads you not to strip you of your comfort, but to invite you into transformation. So don't be afraid. The cloud has lifted. The way ahead may be unknown, but the guide is faithful. How will you respond to God today?